We're not going to be depressed no more. And I'm telling you the truth. We're not going there. Not any longer. Never again. Let's show some scripture here. Y'all know where we've been. So we remember, I skipped love. I'll get that towards the end. We've done joy. We've done peace. And then we get to the hard part. We done patience. We did kindness. We did goodness. Last week was faithfulness. This week is gentleness. In some of your other versions, it'll say meekness. The actual word, I put the wrong Greek word, by the way. That where the Y and the little two dots are above it, that should be an O. That means similarly to the gentleness, but it's not the word that is used there. The word used there is P-R-A-O-T-E-S, praotes, and self-control. So that's where we're going with gentleness. You've heard it, meekness. We've heard all the different stories on it. Here's what I want you to know. In the Greek definition of this word, praotes, it's not only gives a word description, but it's one of the few words in the Greek language that uses an illustration for you to understand the word. And the illustration is power under control, and the illustration they use was a horse that is under control. But what you need to understand is, I don't know if y'all, some of y'all are familiar with horses, but the Arabian horse is this big, humongous, powerful horse. And that's what they're saying gentleness is that big, powerful horse under control of the reins, all right? So, for instance, if you see rushing water going through a dam and through the turbines, it's powerful, and it's being controlled so that it can light up a city. We got Frank's a firefighter. He'll understand this. Man, we use fire to cook and to warm our houses and stuff. But when there's a fire out of control, you hear what I'm saying? So this is something extremely powerful that is under control, and that's what gentleness is. And the cool thing about this word, and actually all the fruits of the Spirit that we've been talking about, remember, we've talked for years about the justification of what Christ has done for us, and it's completely, totally, completely done. And now we're on this big word, sanctification, which, again, this is where Christ in me is justification, or excuse me in Christ is justification, Christ in me is sanctification, and that's what flows out from us. And the only thing that's going to flow out from us is what the Holy Spirit gives us in these fruits, and that's why we've been talking about it. So, Jesus, well, let me just put this, let me just stay right here. Gentleness, this word gentleness, is anger and emotions and literally life under control. This has nothing to do with next week, which is self-control, which is actually the word temperance. This has all to do with what gentleness is. Jesus is obviously the primest example of this in the Word. I mean, good night. How many times he could have turned people into toads if he wanted to? But he was always gentle in his understanding. When they would spit on him, the Word says he wouldn't say a word. You hear what I'm saying? He was obviously the prime example. But one of the greatest other examples of this was Moses. Now, Moses was not a perfect guy. I mean, come on, he killed an Egyptian. You know, he did have some anger issues. But he wasn't perfect, but he gives one of the greatest examples of what this word means. Because this word literally means the power that you have over others. In other words, if you're a boss, that power. And some of you are like, well, I don't have. Yes, you do, because if you have a dog or a cat, you have power. You get what I'm saying? That's where this word hangs with. And this is what's so cool about this word. But Moses showed tremendous gentleness. And one of the greatest places he did it was this story right here. And hopefully we'll get it. It says, while they were at Hazeroth, Miriam and Aaron. Miriam was Moses' sister. Aaron was a priest. So these aren't people that are just like walking in off the street. Miriam criticized Moses because he had married a Cushite woman. Everybody argues that because the Cushite woman was a dark-skinned woman, so that's people like to run with that. It's not the point. The point is they criticized. Verse 2, they said, has the Lord spoken only, excuse me, only through Moses? Hasn't he spoken through us too? And here's the kicker. But the Lord heard him. Watch this. And verse 3 says, now Moses was very humble, more humble than any other person on the earth. Next scripture, here we go. So immediately the Lord called to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam and said, go out to the tabernacle, all three of you. So the three of them went to the tabernacle. Then the Lord descended in the pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance of the tabernacle. Aaron and Miriam, he called out. Could you imagine being called out by God? Aaron and Miriam, he called, and they stepped forward. And the Lord said to him, watch this. Now listen to what I say. If there were prophets among you, I, the Lord, would reveal myself in visions. I would speak to them in dreams. But not with my servant Moses. Of all my house, he's the one that I trust. I speak to him face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the Lord as he is. So why were you not afraid to criticize my servant Moses? And the Lord was very angry with him, and he departed. And as the cloud moved from above the tabernacle, there stood Miriam, her skin as white as snow from leprosy. And when Aaron saw what had happened to her, he cried out to Moses. To Moses. And he says, oh, my master, please don't punish us for this sin that we foolishly committed. Don't let her be like a stillborn baby, already decayed at birth. So Moses cried out to the Lord, oh God, I beg you, please heal her. God had just told them, God had just given Moses more power than anybody that ever had on earth. He said, when I got a prophet, I'll speak to him through visions or riddles. We talked about that last week, about all the craziness that God had some of the prophets do, you know, Isaiah walking around naked and Ezekiel laying sideways. And, you know, I mean, those were all prophets. But this is what the Lord said. But he's not a prophet, because I talked to him face to face. Moses had to feel pretty good about who he was, man. God just straightened him out and proved not only that I'm the leader, but he talks to me face to face and nobody else. But this is what gentleness is. This is power under control. Instead of doing that, Moses wasn't playing when he asked God, please heal him. And the funny thing about God is, God said, fine, but you know, here's what he said. God says, fine, but you know, even if a son spits on a father, he's got to spend 7 days out. So she's 7 days out. So in 7 days, she was out, and then she came back, and she was fine. What's my point? My point is, he had all this power, Moses did, but he was gentle. He didn't put them in their place. When we're in an area of leadership, and that can, like I said, that can be, I don't think I wrote down some. That can be anywhere. That can be as a husband and wife, as a boss situation, I'm the customer, you know, the customers are, I'm the customer, you're the cashier, therefore I have power over you. You see what I'm saying? It's not just, and it goes, like I said, all the way down to the dog. You know, if somebody kicks a dog, I tell them always to back up to where it all started, because it all started with somebody else being heavy-handed on them. But this gentleness fruit literally submits power. It means power under control. So this power under control is the power under control in Jesus. So there's five different things that I saw this week that I want to talk about. Gentleness is personality, is our personality under control of God. Here's what happens, and you've heard it a million times, and you might have said it a million times, and I've probably said it in my life. Well, that's just who I am. You know, I'm not you. Have you ever heard that one? I'm not you. That's just who I am. That doesn't work with this thing called the fruit of the Spirit. And by the way, just so you know, the only way you're going to really have these fruits of the Spirit growing in you is if you stay in the vine. That's where I'm constantly having to go. Because if I'm not in the vine, I'm going to do things my way. I can even put God's name on it. Do you hear what I'm saying? So I want to give you a little cliff notes. I taught this years ago. There's four different personality types that have been found. And actually, there's 12. And when I say 12, there's the four main ones. But then everybody is normally want two or three of a mix. But the personalities are sanguine, choleric, melancholy, and phlegmatic. One of the classic sanguine in the Bible was the Apostle Peter, because this personality is very outgoing, this personality is very compassionate, but this personality is very undisciplined, and this personality is very unstable. So as we allow and as we go under the control of Christ through the gentleness that you will only, you can't just say, okay, God, I'm ready. You can't do that. Through the Holy Spirit growing, then you can do that. But Peter's just a great, Peter was always just saying stuff, man. Just saying stuff, and then you can't eat your words back, so then you try to fix it and make it up. Jesus, I mean, he was just crazy. And because he wasn't under this control, you remember when Jesus proclaimed who he was? You know, you're the rock, man. I'm going to build my church. And it wasn't 5 seconds later, he's telling Jesus what he could do. When Jesus told him he was fixing, oh, no, you're not going to do it. You can't do that. Oh, really? Okay, so you get it. There's no submitting under authority there. A choleric personality. One of the classics in the Bible is Martha. The choleric is a visionary and a very decisive person, but they're also very domineering and very sarcastic. This is who we are as people, ladies and gentlemen. So Martha's a great example of that. Being that she was highly organized, the choleric personality is highly organized. Everything's in alphabetical order. Everything is stacked properly. They are planned out. They're decisive. They have pen and paper in hand because they're gonna do that, as opposed to the sanguine, who, if you look at my office, I'm a pretty strong sanguine. It looks like something exploded. I just tell people, man, it's organized chaos. Leave it alone. I know where everything's at. I know it doesn't look right, but I know I got stickies here. I even got stickies on my computer because my computer can do stickies that you can just put on, you know. So, but the choleric personality is like that. They're very visionary and they're very decisive, but they're very domineering and they're very sarcastic. Martha, going into Jesus, as Mary that's laying at Jesus' feet, and Martha's like, hey, sarcasm, you don't think it's sarcasm? Hey, you gonna make her come up and help me? Dude, you get it. So, and that's the melancholy personality. One of the classics in the Bible of that would be Abraham. Again, the melancholy personality is very gifted, very disciplined. A lot of musicians you'll see, that's their strong character, is the melancholy character. But incorporated in that giftedness and that discipline, they're self-centered and they're negative. Abraham was a great example of that, man. He was gifted and he was disciplined. I mean, he was so disciplined he was going to kill his own son. Yet, he was so self-centered and negative, he was going to give his wife away and lie that it wasn't his wife. Right? So I'm just talking about regular people here. And then you have the phlegmatic is the easygoing person. They're easygoing. They're very efficient. But on the dark side, if you will, they're stingy and they're unmotivated. If you want to put these personalities in a character like animals, because I've always done that, the choleric personality, which is the choleric and the sanguine are the most outgoing. The melancholy and the phlegmatic are the most not as outgoing. So the choleric is the Doberman Pinscher, man. You know, just going to rip your head off, right? The sanguine is the Cocker Spaniel. It's just, you know. And then the melancholy is a cat. That's the greatest example I can give you. Just, you know, like, for instance, a sanguine dog, the Cocker Spaniel. You know, come here, buddy. He'll run up and try to jump on the couch and miss it, and you know. And you look at a cat, come on, get on. And they look at you like, what? You ain't going to give me nothing. And then, of course, the phlegmatic is like the bloodhound dog, just completely, totally laid back or anything. I'd share all that to say this. We all have our personalities, and oh, there's tests, and you know, now they're doing the type A, B, C, whatever. The truth is, we do all have our personalities, and we all put a name to it and all that, but it's not the point. The point is, this can all come under control of Christ. And the biggest thing I want you to understand is, despite all their personalities, God never gave up on anybody. He just never has. So Jesus does, and here's what I want you to know. Jesus doesn't want to change our personality. He doesn't. He wants us to put it under his control. Because under his control, it's powerful. When the Holy Spirit came upon Peter after the day of Pentecost, and here he was, this crazy guy, who was the one? He had this strong, sanguine personality, but who was the one that stood up and said, hey, you killed him, but he loves you? I mean, 3,000 people came to know him. Why? Because the Holy Spirit came upon them. And I'm telling you, if you'll allow the Holy Spirit to grow these fruits in your life, crazy good things will happen. All right? So that's great, or excuse me, gentleness is our personality under control. Secondly, gentleness is our outlook under control. How we view others, our outlook of other people. Greatest example I'll give you here in the scripture, the Apostle Paul was just giving instructions to the Corinthian church, as they always had to, because they were crazy, and he was just telling them, man, you got all these teachers that are in here, and they're just saying whatever they want to say, and you're treating us, your fathers in the faith, you know, Paul and Tim and those guys, you're treating us like that. And he says, I'm not complaining at all, but here's what he says. This is what I love. Here's what he says. Because the kingdom of God is not just a bunch of talk. It's living by God's power. So which do you choose, Corinthians? Should I come with a rod to punish you? Or should I come with love and praeotes spirit, a loving and praeotes spirit? Paul had every right as the top dog, if you will, of the apostles at the time, to say anything he wanted, do anything he wanted, correct anything he needed to correct. So that's what he said. And so my question is, are we closer to this or are we closer to this? This is a great story. This is Jesus in Luke 9. As the time drew near for him, Jesus, to ascend to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. That means with focus. He was not looking at anything else but to go get the job done so that we could be free. And he sent messengers ahead to a Samaritan village. Remember, the Jews and the Samaritans hated each other through a series of events because the Samaritans would copy the Jews and build their own temples and stuff, but they hated each other. So he sent messengers ahead to a Samaritan village to prepare for his arrival. But the people of the village did not welcome Jesus because he was on his way to Jerusalem. He was on his way to the Jews. I ain't welcoming you. So when James and John saw this, they said to Jesus, Lord, should we call down fire from heaven to burn them up? You see, there's no gentleness under, there's no power under control there. What's so funny is Jesus, the one who actually had the power to do it if he wanted to, these guys didn't. That's why they're saying, hey, you want us to do it for you? That way we can take a little credit for your power. And look what Jesus did. Jesus turned and rebuked them. So they went to another village. So it's our outlook of other people. We can look at other people, and again, we have so many labels nowadays in our culture. You know, and it's not just political labels. I mean, everybody's labeled something. You know, whether it's mocking the man bun or whatever. They're just, everybody's labels everything. This has absolutely nothing to do with Jesus. This has absolutely nothing to do with our ability. Listen, if you really want to change the world, it's not going to be with your opinion. It's going to be with Jesus. And it's going to be with him flowing in and through your life. And it's going to be with you sitting with the Holy Spirit and saying, man, I want this to not just do a change in me, but I want it to manifest into my feet. I want my feet shod with the gospel of peace. You notice that's from Ephesians chapter 6, where the word talks about that. Having our feet shod with it. That means we're walking in this peace that passes all understanding. So I just talked about the gentleness. Now, and then here, this kind of moves into the other thing that's under control. See, you would think gentleness, the word gentleness, like you're just going to be kind and gentle. No, that goes back to goodness. I didn't realize until I started studying, there's such a huge difference in all of these fruits of the Spirit that are to be incorporated in us and to manifest out of us so that we can love other people. And I mean love all other people. So gentleness, I said gentleness is our personality under control, right? Gentleness is our outlook under control. How are we looking? Like the Apostle Paul, he had every right by his authority in God to bring the rod. But he said, you want that or do you want me to just come and be gentle? And that's what I loved about him because he was very gentle. So, you know, or are we wanting to call fire down from heaven on these sons of guns? So our gentleness Gentleness is our words under control. And this can't even go back to personality, because my personality is an outgoing personality, so I tend to say stuff before I should say stuff, that type of thing. But others just hold it in and stew. What's the difference, right? So you've heard the saying, in one ear and out the other. The problem is in one ear and out the mouth. So again, Timothy here, just do this scripture. This is greatness. 2 Timothy, again I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. I want to pause there for just a second. I have seen this more lately in the kingdom of God, among leadership in the kingdom of God, than I've ever seen in my entire life. Wanting to argue over what Scripture is to mean. Wanting to prove their point. I have had at least 15 pastors unfriend me on Facebook because while they're arguing, I simply write at the end of probably 6 hours of them arguing, I just simply write these words, meantime, the fish swim by. And it angers them. Why would that anger? I'm just talking about going fishing. But do you see what I'm saying? And obviously, at this point in time, this was prevalent as well. Because he's saying, again, I say, don't involve in foolish, ignorant. And here's the thing. So even if you prove yourself right, what does that do? How does that help the little cashier at Walmart who just got a divorce and because she was on drugs, she lost her children and she couldn't get to see him anymore. But you proved your point, you're so smart. You get it. This whole thing about the fruit of the Spirit's got nothing to do with how important we are. It has all to do with the love of Christ that can flow through us. That's just the truth. And it's not, I'm not saying it's an easy walk. That's why I'm telling you, he constantly says, that's why it says it's fruit, because it grows. We're in stages of growth in all of these areas. Just don't become discouraged. Stay in the vine and allow this to happen. So verse 24, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone. To everyone. You know, everyone means everyone. And be paid. Can we take that part out? We need a whiteout Bible where we can have a little bottle of whiteout. We can white out what we don't like. Problem is, all the New Testament would be missing. And we'd be circling the vengeance in the Old Testament. Yeah. Oh, man. So be able to, okay. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone. Be able to teach and be patient with difficult people. Gently, again, the wrong word I got there, it's praeotes. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change these people's heart, and perhaps not. But there's no perhaps in your love for them. Do you hear it? So perhaps God will change these people's hearts and they'll learn the truth. Then they'll come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they've been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. So it's quite clear that this gentleness is incorporated in our words, because he's talking about teaching, right? So then the question is it this or is it this one that we all love? And the tongue is a flame of fire. And it's a whole world of wickedness. And it's corrupting our entire body. You want to know why you're getting sick and you stay sick? Because there might be some bitterness in your heart. You hear me? That really happens. There's been a lot of people who get sick and die because of life. It's a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but nobody can tame a woman. They should have put that. See, I just gave y'all an opportunity to be gentle with me. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but nobody can tame this tongue. It's restless and it's evil and it's full of deadly poison. But when it's underneath the power under control of the words of our mouth or in that gentleness, then it becomes powerfully teaching. Do you get it? That really is true. So I said, what have I said? Personality. Come on, somebody. Personality, outlook. Nobody's keeping notes. Personality, outlook, words, and now, gentleness is our expectations under control. What we expect. Now, I'm not talking about expectations that we have. Oh, man, I'm going to get a good job. No. This is expectations of other folks. Look at this scripture in Ephesians. Always be humble and gentle. Again, wrong word. Be patient with each other. We already heard that, Steve. We want to hear it again. Well, just be patient with that. Make allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Always be humble and gentle. The key, what I want you to key in, and again, expectations is what I'm talking about. Be patient with each other. Make allowances for each other's fault. Therein lies the expectations. We say this a lot, and again, I've said this a lot. You will never have an illusion concerning someone. If you will never be disillusioned, I should say. You'll never be disillusioned if you don't have an illusion in the first place. That is one of the toughest things to do walking in the kingdom, is to not to have expectations of how life should be for other people. Not our own, but for other people. So this is the point I want to get. Now let me show you how Jesus exposed the lack of this right here. Matthew 23. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the law of Moses. So practice and obey whatever they tell you, but don't follow their example." Now they're standing there, and Jesus is saying this. "For they don't practice what they teach. They crush people with unbearable religious demands, and they never lift a finger to ease the burden." If our flesh does that all the time, and not necessarily, it doesn't have to be just religious demands. We put demands on people, and we crush them with the demands, and we don't move. But what the Pharisees were doing was they were giving all these instructions. Man, you know, the only time Jesus ever showed any kind of anger was against the church of the day, and here he is telling us exactly the opposite of what gentleness is, because gentleness loves and accepts other people without expecting anything. We've kind of been taught that we're somehow justifying other people's wrongdoing because we don't hold them. We're given grace, if you will, and we don't hold them to the fire of this thing. You hear me? And Jesus just said it. Man, y'all are quiet today. I don't blame me. Don't blame me. So, I've done four. What are they? Thank you. Out. You started writing when I said it a while ago, so you didn't feel guilty, didn't you? So I'm on the last one already, because y'all are so quiet today. Gentleness is our reaction. How we react. Reaction is an instantaneous thing that happens. I've used the illustration before. If you're driving down the street and somebody cuts you off and you get angry at them, that's not a reaction. That's a proactive, I'm going to flip you a finger or something. Reaction is when it's just, oh, you know, you just, oh, like somebody scares you, so that car turns right into you. And so instead of your reaction, for me, thank God, it's, oh, Jesus! Because I guess he's in my heart a little bit, as opposed to if it was 5 seconds out where I could be angry. So our gentleness is our reactions under control. That's what Paul tells Colossians. He says, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Good Lord, we could write an entire book of all the labels that we have in this country now and add them there. Do you get it? Yeah, it's amazing to me. It's amazing to me. You know what's so funny too? Because here's what I know. I'm the old guy now, right? I'm the old guy. I'm 65 years old. I'm the old guy. And so, you know, we the way we do things and everything is just not, we're not hip or whatever. I don't know all the tech things. My poor mother, she's 92 and she don't even know how to text. But, you know, let's see. I think it's today is the 50th year of Woodstock. Now, a lot of you people might not know Woodstock. I was 15 years old when Woodstock happened. I lied for years that I went. I really did want to go, though. 400,000 kids that I can call kids now, which were my age, you know, 16 up to probably 25 maybe, showed up for 3 days in New York for this festival of music. Now, granted, they were smoking pot and doing acid. No, I get all that. They're doing the evil things. Over 400,000 of them. Not a fight. Not a death. Look, I've done chaplain work at the Texas, at the Speedway. They have, when they have 200,000 people there. There have been, when I was doing it, there have been a couple deaths just because, look at it this way. Haltom City is like 45,000 people. You got 200,000, it's like a city for days, right? But for those 3 days, oh, there were some drug overdoses, yes, but nobody died, nobody fought. And let's be really honest here, since us old people ain't got nothing together, that will never happen again. I don't know if you remember, years ago they tried to put one together and they had to shut it down after a day and a half because everybody was fighting. They were trying to put one together this year for the 50th anniversary and they couldn't even, they had all these bands signed and then some of the bands started backing out, then they lost the property. Listen, Woodstock was the same thing. Woodstock had already set up in this other part of New York and they came in and said no, and they had 2 weeks to do 6 months of work and they got it done with a bunch of drug heads that worked together. But the truth is, we'll never see it again. That's sad. So don't be telling me I got it all wrong. I was a Woodstock fan. I used to wear a bullet around my neck and a peace sign. That was cool. I feared my parents enough I wouldn't get a tattoo. But I talked big. I don't know where that came from, but that was a side note. So celebrate Woodstock. Jimi Hendrix's powerful rendition of the Star Spangled Banner, and just so you know, I actually watched the documentary again, just because, whoa, yeah. Canned Heat, y'all even know who Canned Heat is. That was my first concert I ever went to, Canned Heat. This is a blue, look it up on YouTube, but not right now. Thank you. Put on your new nature. Put on your new nature. What's my new nature? I'm in Christ. Justification, I'm in Christ. I'm in Him. Everything He's done is done for me. I'm in Him. I'm declared righteous because of what He did on the cross. The Word says, I'm declared righteous. I am a new creature. Put on your new nature. Put on Jesus. Stay in the vine and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator. Because when you start knowing Him, you're going to start becoming like Him. And in this new life, it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. I said all that. That's where I got stuck. Christ is all that matters. That's it. That really is it. That doesn't mean you go around Bible thumping folks about Jesus at all. Christ is all that matters. And Him in me.
Therefore, him in me and him flowing out of me is going to incorporate the joy, the peace, the love. As long as I'm in him and I'm allowing those fruits of the Holy Spirit to grow, that's where real change comes, not only in your own life, but in other people's lives. It's really kind of cool. So Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Verse 12, since God chose you to be, we did this scripture a couple weeks back. Since God chose you to be, he picked you to be his holy. He picked you so that he could die for you so that you could be holy. How crazy is that? Since God chose you to be the holy people that he desperately, wonderfully loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender mercy and kindness. That's when we hit it, was on the kindness teaching. And humility and gentleness and patience. That's where your reactions to life, whatever comes your way, whatever person comes in your life, whatever level that they're on in life. I've told you all the time, the biggest problem with people's struggle with understanding the grace of Christ is we're all on the same level. None of us are different. He didn't love me more than he loves you. He doesn't love me less than he loves you. Hallelujah. We're all the same. We're the same. But in culture, we've got stacks of things happening, right? And this is so when those things happen to us, that's where we understand this. We stay in Christ because he really is all that matters. And then we walk through the principles of what this is telling us. That's the Holy Spirit. But here's what happens if we decide to do the other thing. But if you're bitter, jealous, and there's a selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with bragging and lying. Like I lied about going to Woodstock. But here's why. It's not because you're so horrible, you're boasting. Here's why. Because jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, they're unspiritual, and they're demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. In church, out of church, at work, wherever. This is what's prevalent in our culture now. The only thing to counter this is not giving it back to them with the same thing. Do you get it? I cannot tell you how many believers are just saying the same thing about somebody else that those other people are saying about them. None of it fits in this thing called the kingdom of God, this New Testament kingdom of God. So, I'm on my conclusion, and here it is. All of us have a degree of power to some extent. Again, the boss or the spouse, and again, just through life, you've heard it. Listen, let me tell you something. Micromanagement, what we used to call power tripping, now it's called micromanagement, has got nothing to do with the kingdom of God. I'm telling you right now. You can try to spin it. You can say it's my job. You can say it's my personality. You get what I'm saying? So all of us have this degree of power. A child even has power over another child. You get it? In the homeless community, there is a leveling. Everything is leveled in the culture, in our culture, in all cultures. In India, they call it the caste system. And the caste system works similar to how we've tried to work it here, and that is the Dalits. What's their name? The Dalits. The Dalits are the darkest skinned people in India. And so they're the less than, and then it works up to the lightest skinned people. But it's beyond that in this country. You go to, like I said, the homeless community, you would think, oh no. In the homeless community, there's levels, man. Because there's the guy like Squig. Squig's kind of like the godfather of the street. I told you the story about Squig punched a guy one time because he's trying to get money from me. Because he was a new homeless, whatever that means. But he was a new homeless, at least in our community. New homeless guy come in. And he really wasn't trying to get money from me. I was just rolled the window down because he was new. They were working the Christmas $300 a day thing they do down there at 121. And so I rolled by and I went, hey, man, I haven't met you. And Squig comes out and bam, nails him. And rightly so, because he's the street guy, right? Well, and then you have those that actually have a blanket and some that don't have blankets. And you have those that have newer shoes and those that don't have shoes. And then you have those that have the cardboard box. There's just everybody levels everything. We all have this power. And again, the child that takes the toy from the other child, and then that child goes and again kicks the dog, and the dog, you know, whatever. There's this leveling that happens. This is so totally out of character, not only for the fruit of gentleness, but for the fruit of any of the fruits of the Spirit. So here's what I know. I wrote this. I don't know why I did, but maybe you need to hear it. It's difficult to watch folks without Jesus in control handle power. It is. But you got to be gentle with them too. I have the authority to, I get it. I'm the pastor. I get it. But you will never have authority until you're under authority. I've done a 19-week teaching on that. You will never be a person of authority until you know how to walk under authority. And the only place you're going to find real authority is in Christ and allowing Him to have you the power that you have under control. So, I wrote it here. Power tripping, what we used to call it. Power tripping and gentleness are at opposite ends. Failure is hard to cope with, and it is. But success is even harder. Why? Because failure looks at ways to improve. Success gives us more influence and more opportunities to flex our power. But the flexing of that power, if it's the flexing of gentleness in our life, is crazy powerful. Because you'll really start seeing people come to know Christ without you having to beat Jesus into them. Because you're just going to love them into the kingdom. That sounds so corny, but it's so true. I am a testimony of seeing that happen. I'm a testimony of that really kind of happening to me. I got kicked out of seminary twice. I get it. And that most of those people hated me, but there was one person who and it wasn't they saw potential in me. There was one person who just accepted me right where I was, and that spoke volumes to me. And he was a dean of students of the college. Holy smoke, how dare him. Everybody else wanted me out. Another guy that I had to go get signed off because I'd missed so many chapels, he said, "You're really trying to get back in school?" I said, "I am getting back in school because this is all I have left to do." "Well, yeah, I don't even know why. You know what? You should probably sit out for 5 or 6 years and decide on what you want to do with life." And me, still a pretty cocky guy, I'm like, "It's none of your concern, sir. Just sign the stupid paper." And that's there's no gentleness there. I get it. But I was a young buck when I knew everything. Man, back when I knew everything, I was full of myself. Now that I'm older, I wish God could flip this somehow. Give me what I have now back then so that I could do life with that. Listen, there's something powerful that God is doing, by the way, in the kingdom. And we had a crazy, crazy prophetic word from a guy that nowhere lives near here that is a well-known prophet. And the Lord woke him up about Texas. And then the Lord, watch this, the Lord had him focus in. And he said he felt like the Dallas-Fort Worth area where we were starting. He said, then as I continued to pray, he said, "I saw this building." So I looked it up and it's in Fort Worth. And it's called Bass Hall. And there's these trumpeters that are trumpeting. I got chills and I'm reading this and I'm like, I want some of that, but we got to be ready for that. We got to be ready for an influx of people we don't like. How dare that happen? So, gentleness is that power. Gentleness is every power I'm telling you about. Every success that, watch this, every success that we have, if we would allow that to bring that under control of Jesus, there will be that much more success in our life. And when I say success, I'm not talking about necessarily finances and fame and all that. What I'm talking about is life in general. Because real power, real honest-to-goodness power is found in gentleness. Because gentleness is that big air horse that I can get in your face. But I humble myself. See, because when I was young and I would have been Moses, I would have told him, "Hey, you heard what he said. You're lucky he just turned you leper. I'd have made your arms fall off." Instead, not only did he not, he cared. Interesting. So here it is, power. I snuck it in on you. You can come on up, Gay. There you go. Personality under control. Outlook under control. Words under control. Expectation under control. Reaction under control. And none of that under control has to do with you keeping it under control. That's next week when we're talking about temperance, and that's got nothing to do with you either. It really doesn't, because, you know, you're reading the fruits of the Spirit, and then you get that last one, self-control. No, it's not. It's the word's temperance. We use the word self-control because that's not really what it means, kind of. But there's nothing of the fruits of the Spirit that we can do ourselves, just like there's nothing we can do to stop what Christ did for us on the cross.
I want to read to you out of Philippians. It's on page 831 in your pew Bible. I'm going to read out of Philippians 2. Dear friends, always follow my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it's even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. That's why I don't think we need excuses for, that's just the way I am, or, you know, well, they treated me this way, so now I'm going to do this. I want you to understand this. According to the Word of God, there is no excuse for hatred and bitterness and unforgiveness. It's not in there. And so people say, well, but I can't do that. Yes, we can. I just read you the scripture, Philippians 2:13. For God is in me, and I can do His will. But the greatest strength we have is gentleness. Because that is me being able not to do what I want to do, not to look at somebody through the filter of my anger or my hatred. But I am looking at people through the filter of Jesus Christ, recognizing that everyone deserves love and everyone deserves mercy because He started with me. Gentleness will break the hardest wall that force will never break. And it starts in my heart and in yours. Guys, I can't change other people, but I'll tell you this. It's harder to be silent and let people malign you, but in the end, it proves who we are and who God is, because He is merciful and loving. And we can't harbor against someone else when we've been mistreated. What we can do is have gentleness and love them and pray for them and believe the best for them. I want you to know, I believe that, you know, if one of my grandkids over here, if they were just, you know, if you guys decide you're going to do something foolish, I want you to know, I'm going to love you. That's true. But I'm going to tell you it's foolish before you do it. Okay? Not because I'm always right, but because I love you enough for you to reject me. Because you're worth it. And I want to tell you something. The world is hurting. And the world doesn't need us to judge them. And some of us are so afraid of being judged that we won't love because we don't want people to even know that we associate with certain people. How sick is that when Jesus has given us the ability to love all people? Would you stand with me? Are you struggling today? Are you struggling with gentleness because you feel like you were taught, don't be gentle? Don't, you know, don't do that. It makes you look weak. Do you know why that's so bad? Because when you internalize anger and you've been told that gentleness is a sign of weakness, you can't even let the mercy of God flow in your life because you've been taught it's a weakness. Are we struggling today in this room with loving people and letting go of expectations on them and just receiving them where they are? Are our filters so clogged with preconceived ideas and pain that we already have judged somebody and we look for everything they say that's wrong instead of what they say that's right? Let God cleanse your heart today, because it's an anger and it's something that'll eat you up. And I feel today that what we need to do is just pray right now and receive His mercy and grace and let gentleness just begin to flow. Anybody in here want to be judged? Anybody in here want to be condemned? Anybody in here want to be picked apart for every word you say? No. But I want to tell you what. God is in you, and He's in me, and we can do His will. And we can love, and we can forgive. And in gentleness, we can display the greatest strength. That's what I want to do today. I want to pray for you. If you're in need of something today, would you just lift your hands? That just rings a bell with you. Yes. 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 Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we just come to you. I come to you in the name of Jesus that was given all power in heaven and in earth. I come to you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that all authority was given and the Holy Spirit released because of Him that lives in us. And I call right now on you, Holy Spirit, to remind us, God, to look at you and not another person for our wholeness. I call on you, God, today to remind us, Lord, that you are the one who sets us free. Not our ideas. Not getting our way. That's not going to do it, God. But Lord, I want you to love me enough to let me come to the end of me till all I see is you, Jesus, and all I want is you. Lord, deliver us today from all bondage. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to remember my strength is in you. And my hope is in you. And my love is in you. And your love, your mercy, and your gentleness is alive inside of me. And I call on the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that lives in us, to open up understanding right now that, God, we can be set free. I don't have to be the way I am, God, and I don't want an excuse to stay bound. I can be who you say I am. Define me today, God, and define the people in this room as your children. God, I pray right now that your Spirit would just go out, Lord, over each one. I pray right now for Wesley Sperry, God, that you would raise him up. I pray right now, God, for Dee Dee Roberts, that you would heal her body. I pray now, God, for those who are discouraged and those who are fearful of others. My hope is in you. Deliver us from evil, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you just repeat this after me? I am victorious. I will overcome because He lives in me and He's going to make the way for me. And the pressure's off of me. Amen. Let God do it for you and for other people. Love you. Now, I want you to know that Wednesday night,